The sixth day of the Satipatthana course is over. Let us proceed further. Beware with Dhammanupassana. We had covered the Nivaran Pabbam. The five obstacles on the progress of the path of Dhamma, the path of liberation. We move further. Dhamma, as I said, is mental contents. Dhamma, as I said, is the nature of the mental contents. The truth, the law, the law of the nature, the universal law of the nature is Dhamma. Someone who becomes a Buddha, this person is not interested in establishing a religion, in establishing a sect, because he has discovered the law at the deepest level. He explains this law to the suffering people so that they understand the reality and work out their way to come out of their miseries. Help people to come out of their miseries. The teaching of an enlightened one is just to help people to come out of their miseries. People of this sect or that sect makes no difference. People of this community or that community makes no difference. People of this country or that country, this color or that color, this gender or that gender makes no difference at all. The law is law. And the law is there whether there is a Buddha or no Buddha. Even before someone becomes a Buddha, this universal law governs the entire universe, everyone. Animate, inanimate, everything, everyone is governed by this law. When there is a Buddha, then also everything is governed by this law. And when the Buddha is no more, then also. So this law of nature is there. But out of ignorance, people do not understand the law. And therefore they can't make use of the law to come out of their misery. Because of ignorance of the truth of the law of nature, they keep on multiplying their misery by multiplying their bondages. Someone becomes enlightened and finds out the truth. Not just the apparent truth, but the deepest, ultimate truth. The truth pertaining to the mind and the matter. The truth pertaining to the interaction of the two. Constant interaction, currents, undercurrents, cross currents going on within each individual. And the individual does not know what is happening deep inside, keeps on playing the game only at the surface level of the mind, keeps oneself deluded, all the time in ignorance and keeps on multiplying one's misery. The law pertaining to the mind and matter. This is Dhamma. And now we come to Dhamma with the heading of Khanda Pabbam. Pabbam is the section. Khanda. The word Khanda means aggregate, a heap of certain things, accumulated. Khanda. What one says as an individual, yes, at the apparent level, this is an individual. What one says as I, at the apparent level, yes, I, or you, or he, or she. For conventional purpose, for dealing with people, yes, this is the truth. We cannot ignore this truth. But the deeper level, the truth at the deeper level is the Pancha Khandha, the five aggregates. And a Buddha wants you to go to the depth of the reality of these five aggregates and reach the stage where you can't differentiate. The five aggregates are five aggregates. Same with me, same with you, same with he, same with she, same with every living being. A congregation of five aggregates, that's all. And at the level of sanya, one names them. One identifies them by this name or that name. Actually, just five aggregates. One aggregate is the aggregate of matter. Tiny little atoms, subatomic particles. Countless subatomic particles joined together. The aggregate of kalapa, the material atoms. This is one aggregate, matter. And the second aggregate, mind, is divided in four divisions. Vijnana, the part of the mind which cognizes. Sanya, the part of the mind which recognizes and gives valuations. Vedana, the part of the mind that feels. And Sankhara, the part of the mind which reacts, which creates. These four aggregates of the mind and the one aggregate of matter, these five join together. One says this is an individual, this is an entity. For conventional purpose, yes, this is an individual. But at the ultimate truth level, just five khandas, the five aggregates. This is not to be accepted merely as a philosophy, as a belief. This truth has to be realized. And the whole process of satipatthana, the whole process of vipassana is to realize this truth at the actual level, at the experiential level. So this madness of I, the madness of ego, the madness of identifying oneself with one or the other of these five aggregates, or the combination of these five aggregates, as I, as mine, as myself. And out of this ignorance, developing tremendous amount of attachment, clinging to these aggregates, with the resultant misery, misery, misery. This reality has to be realized. This truth has to be realized. Merely accepting it at the devotional level because an enlightened person has said so, so I believe it, it doesn't help one to come out of misery. Or merely intellectualizing it, finding it very rational, logical, and then accepting it, that also does not help one to come out of misery. Realizing it and realizing within the framework of one's own body, inside, experience it, then the ignorance goes away. The truth becomes very clear, and the habit pattern of the deepest level of the mind, which generates nothing but misery, misery, that habit pattern changes, and one comes out of this habit pattern and reaches the stage of liberation. This is the law, the Dhamma. So we work with this Khanda Pabba. Punachaparang bhikkhave bhikkhu dhamme sudhammanupassi viharati. And then another meditator will work with dhamme sudhammanupassi, observing Dhamma in Dhamma. And what these Dhammas? Panchasu upadana khandesu, the five upadana khanda. The word upadana means attachment, clinging. The five khandas, the five aggregates towards which one keeps on developing attachment, upadana. Or we can say, because of attachment, these five khandas keep on getting generated again and again, again and again, life after life, life after life. This upadana is responsible for these five khandas. And the five khandas are the object of your upadana, of your attachment. That is why they are together. Panchasu, five. Upadana khandesu, aggregates of attachment. Kathancha pana bhikkhave bhikkhu dhamme sudhammanupassi viharati panchasu upadana khandesu. How one practices dhammanupassana with these five aggregates. Ida bhikkhave bhikkhu iti rupam. Oh, this is matter. At the experiential level, you notice rupang. The word rupang in those days was meant matter. This is matter. Iti rupasya samudayo. This is arising of the matter. Samudayo, arising. Iti rupasya athangamo. This is passing away of the matter. Athangamo. And then, similarly, the mental things, iti vedana, this is feeling. Iti vedana is samudayo, it is arising of the feeling, the sensations. Iti vedana ya athangamo, this is passing away of the vedana. Iti sanya, this is sanya, perception. Iti sanya ya samudayo, this is arising of the sanya. Iti sanyaya athangamo. This is passing away of the sanya. One is realizing the whole process, what is happening inside. Iti sankhara. This is sankhara. Iti sankharanam samudayo. This is arising of the sankharas. Iti sankharanam athangamo. This is passing away of the sankhara. Like this, these five aggregates. Iti ajjatangva dhammesu dhammanupassi viharati. Bahiddhava dhammesu dhammanupassi viharati. The same stations, inside, outside. Ajjatta bahiddhava dhammesu dhammanupassi viharati. The both together. Samudai dhammanupassiva viharati, arising. Vai dhammanupassiva viharati. Samudai vai dhammanupassiva viharati. Atti dhammati. Oh, this is dhamma. This is the dhamma of these five aggregates. Atti dhammati va panasa sati pachupatthita hoti. The awareness gets established in the reality. This is dhamma. These five aggregates. That's all. Five aggregates. A high stage of observing this reality of mind and matter takes one to the stage where one realizes this is mere mind and matter. Nothing else. Mere mind and matter. Nothing else. Where is I in it? Where is mine in it? Where is myself in it? It becomes so clear. It becomes also clear that at the apparent level, conventional level, one has to use these words, I, mine, you, your, etc. But at the actual level, at the deeper, ultimate level, look, there are mere khandas, the five khandas. Like you have your motor car. For conventional purpose, you say this is a car. What is a car? You disintegrate it. You take out the tires, separate, the tubes separate, the wheels separate, the seat separate, the engine separate, the battery separate, the body separate. Separate everything. Then what is a car? Is the tire a car? Is the tube a car? Is the wheel a car? Or is the body a car? What is car? Joined together, we have to give this word, this nomenclature, a car for conventional purpose. But at the actual level, these are different parts joined together. Like you say, today is, say, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. What is a week? Is Monday a week? Is Tuesday a week? Joined together, you have to use a word, a week. The date, first day, the second day, the 30th day, the 30 days together, you call it a month. Which day is a month? For conventional purpose, you have to use this word, month. Similarly, 12 months, a year. The whole purpose of Vipassana is to divide, dissect, disintegrate, and observe the reality as it is, so that you come out of the attachment. The khandas remain as they are, arising, passing, but your upadan, your attachment to it, that goes away. Now you understand they are mere khandas, mere aggregates. This is the dhamma, dhamma of khanda. Atti dhamma tiva panasasati pachupatthita hoti. And then with this stage one keeps on proceeding up to yavadev jnanamattaya patissatimattaya. Where there is mere observation, samyak darshan, or it was called in those days keval darshan, mere observation. Anyanamattaya, mere understanding, mere wisdom, samyak jnan, keval jnan, just understanding, And just observation, when one reaches that stage, anishyato cha viharati, then there is nothing to depend on. With attachment one depends on this or on that, nothing to depend on. Nache kinche loke upadhiyate, there is nothing to grasp. Evam bhikkhu bhikkhave bhikkhu dhamme su dhamma nupassi viharati. This is how one practices dhamme su dhamma nupassi panchasu upadana khandesu. And the next, ayatan pabbang. Ayatan. Sense doors, sense organs, sphere of senses, the eyes, the ears, the nose, the tongue, the body skin, and the mind. These are the six spheres of the senses. All these six are ajyatang, inside, because they are on the body or inside the body. And another six ayatan, again the spheres of the sensorium, are the objects. The object of eyes, a vision, color, shape, form, light, etc. The object of the ear, a sound. Object of the nose, smell. Object of the tongue, a taste. Object of the body, the skin of the body, something tangible. Object of the mind, a thought, an emotion, a fantasy, a dream. These six objects, respective objects, of these six ayatanas, chaya ayatana, six spheres internal, and these are the objects external, although we call them external, but these objects are objects for you only when they come in contact with the framework of your body. When they come in contact with the so-called internal ayatans. Somebody who is blind from the birth, for this person there is no world of color or light or shape or form. For someone who is deaf from the birth, for this person there is no world of sound. However you try to explain, for this person there is no world of sound. So these respective objects, when they come in contact with the respective sense door, then only their existence is existence for us. Therefore, although you call them bahiddha, outside, but they are actually, their existence is when they come in contact with these sense doors. So six internal, six external, these 12 ayatan. Punacha paranga bhikkhave bhikkhu dhamme su dhammanupassi viharati. Then again a bhikkhu, a meditator, meditates. Chasu achatik bahiresu ayatanesu, these six ayatans inside and outside. Kathan chapana bhikkhave bhikkhu dhamme su dhammanupassi viharati. Chasu ajyatik bahiresu ayatanesu. How one practices. Ida bhikkave bhikkhu chakkhun chapajanati. One realizes the truth of the chakkhu, the eye sense door. Chakkhun chapajanati, rupe chapajanati, a shape or form is rupa, the object of eyes. Rupe cha pajanati yancha tad ubhayam. And then, with the base of these two, tad ubhayam, these two, upajyate, arises. What arises with the contact of these two? Sanyojanam, a bondage arises. Tanchapajanati, with the base of these two, the eyes and the respective object, the form, the shape, the color, etc. With the base of these two, a bondage arises. Sanyojanam tanchapajanati. And then, yathach anuppannasya sanyojanasya uppado hoti tanchapajanati. As one keeps on working with this reality, look, this is the bondage. The eye, the object of the eye, look, as soon as they come in contact, there is a vedana, phasa pachaya vedana. With every contact, there is a vibration. And then the sanya gives evaluation. Oh, this form, this shape, is the form of a girl or a form of a boy, beautiful, not beautiful, ugly, not ugly, pleasant, unpleasant. As soon as this kind of evaluation is given, the sensations become pleasant or unpleasant. And then the fourth part of the mind starts reacting, sankhara, with craving, with aversion. And this whole process is sanyojana, a bondage. This is how the bondage starts, and this is how it keeps on multiplying. This bondage one experiences, one observes, and observing this bondage, the habit pattern starts changing. Now you don't react. Your habit of creating these bondages become weaker, weaker, weaker. And when you don't react, the bondages, the knots that you're tied earlier and which are lying deep inside, now an opportunity comes for them to come on the surface. When you keep yourself busy with tying new knots all the time, new knots, new bondage, there is no opportunity for the old one to come on the surface. You stop tying new knots, and the old ones will start coming up on the surface. You stop creating new sanyojanas, new bondages, and the old ones will come on the surface. And this is what is said in the next sentence. Yathacha anuppannasya sanyojanasya, those which has not come on the surface, uppado hoti tancha pajanati. Now those come on the surface, and a meditator observes. Yathacha uppannasya sanyojanasya pahananga hoti tancha pajanati. Now this bondage that has come on the surface, this sankhara or the complex that has come on the surface, one keeps on observing. Pahananga hoti, eradication. There are three types of eradications. One eradication is, even when you don't meditate vipassana properly, if you don't meditate at all, still, you are observing your sila. For that moment when you are observing your sila, then at the surface level of the mind, you are not reacting. You are not overreacting with aversion or craving. That is how you are observing your sila. So, it is a momentary eradication of your bondage. Then you practice samadhi in a proper way. When you practice samadhi, you start going deeper, little deeper. And then you find that the roots are shaken. There is more eradication, the roots are shaken. Then you practice vipassana. And with the vipassana, when you go to the deepest level of your mind, then roots are taken out. The pahanang, the eradication is at the deepest level of the mind. Pahanang. Another simile is given to understand this law, this process, how it all happens. Somebody very thirsty comes to a pond, very thirsty, wants to drink water immediately. And the surface of the pond is full of weeds. which is very poisonous. This person knows it is poisonous. If I drink this water with this weed, I may die. So with his hands, he removes the weed. He removes the weed on certain area, small area, takes water and drinks, quenches the thirst. These weeds again come together, again cover. This is only momentary eradication. Then one wants this water, pure water, again and again. So one takes a pole, another pole, another pole, another pole. Area is covered, poles with nets all around. Taking the weeds away, putting net, the weed that is taken away from this area cannot come in. So more area is now cleared of this poisonous weed. This is samadhi. Samadhi becomes deeper, 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 more and more area, more and area is cleared, more and more area is cleared. But the weeds are still there, the root is still there. After some time, again they will grow. And then panya, vipassana. You take every particle of this weed and throw it out of this pond. Take every particle, throw it out of this pond. There is no particle left now. There is no root. There is no slight fiber of it left there. Nothing can arise. This is the real pahana, total eradication at the root level. And this is what is meant here. Yathacha pahinasya sanyojanasya. Those bondages which are eradicated totally, ayateng anuppado hoti tancha pajanati. Now one realizes that they can't come anymore. They are not coming anymore. One has reached the stage of arhanthood, total liberation, then nothing can arise which is a bondage. Similarly, in the same way, sotang cha pajanati, the ear sense too, sadde cha pajanati, the sound, the words, yancha tadu ubhayang, with these two, paticcha upajjati sanyojanang tancha pajanati, the bondage that arises because of these two, yathacha anuppannasya sanyojanasya uppado hoti tancha pajanati, observing this bondage, developing equanimity, equanimity, equanimity. Now old ones, which had never come up in the surface till now, they start coming up on the surface. Yathacha uppannasya sanyojanasya, those which have come on the surface now, pahananga hoti, they get eradicated, tancha pajanati. Observes that also. Yathacha pahinasya sanyojanasya ayating anuppado hoti tancha pajanati. Those which are totally eradicated, one has reached the stage of arhanthood, all those are totally eradicated, now they are not coming, this reality is also realized. Not merely accepting it at the philosophy, it is realized. One has experienced this stage. Similarly, ghanang cha pajanati, the nose, gandhe cha pajanati, the smell, and yancha tadhu bhayang paticcha upajjati sanyojanang, the bondage that arises because of the contact of the two, tancha pajanati, observes that also. And then the same process, yathacha anuppannasya sanyojanasya uppado hoti tancha pajanati, those bondages which have not come on the surface, they come on the surface now. Yathacha uppannasya sanyojanasya pahananga hoti, they get eradicated. Yathacha pahinasya sanyojanasya ayating anuppado hoti tancha pajanasi, and those which are eradicated totally at the root level, they don't come back now. Total liberation, the stage of total liberation. Similarly, jivvam cha pajanati, the tongue, observes the tongue, rase cha pajanati, the taste, yang cha tadubhayam paticcha upajjati sanyojanam tancha pajanati, the bondage that arises because of these two, one observes that. And observing, yathacha anuppannasya, those bondages which are not earlier arisen up, now they are arising, yathacha anuppannasya sanyojanasya uppado hoti tancha pajanati, observes their arising, yathacha uppannasya sanyojanasya pahanangahoti, the eradication. Yatha chapahinasya sanyojanasya ayatin anuppado hoti tanchapajanati. Those are totally eradicated. They don't come back. This reality is also observed. Then kayanchapajanati, the body. Photabbe tapajanati, anything tangible. Yancha tadubhayangapaticca uppajjati sanyojanam tanchapajanati. And the bondage that comes because of these two. Yathacha anuppannasya sanyojanasya uppado hoti tanchapajanati. The old accumulated bondage is coming on the surface. Yathacha uppannasya sanyojanasya pahananga hoti tanchapajanati. They are passing away, their eradication. Yatha chapahinasya sanyojanasya ayatin anuppado hoti tanchapajanati. And those which have passed away are not going to come again. This situation is also observed, witnessed. Manang chapajanati, the mind. Dhamme chapajanati, the contents of the mind. Yancha tadubhayanga paticca uppajjati sanyojanam tanchapajanati. The bondage because of these two, one observes. Observing, 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 the old ones start coming up on the surface. Yathach anuppannasya sanyojanasya uppado hoti tanchapajanati. And then yathach uppannasya sanyojanasya pahananga hoti tanchapajanati. One witnesses the eradication of those which has come upon the surface. And yatha chapahinasya sanyojanasya. And the stage where all these bondages are eradicated, that stage where they are not going to come back, this stage is also witnessed. Anuppado hoti tanchapajanati. These, all these six sense doors, their respective objects. In the earlier section, the mind, the matter. One works within this boundary of mind and matter. And within this boundary, you have got these six sense doors. And one keeps on understanding, making an analytical study of everything as to how things are happening. One remains ignorant of what is happening. Then bondages after bondages, bondages after bondages, they keep on multiplying. One comes out of the ignorance and observes the reality in wisdom. The process of bondage stops, the habit pattern of generating bondages stop, and the old ones get eradicated one after the other, one after the other, or big chunks of them, they come on the surface and pass away. A stage comes when there is no more bondage, one is fully liberated. Iti ajjhattangava dhamme sudhammanupassi viharati. And after that, the same process, bahiddhava dhamme sudhammanupassi viharati. Inside, outside, ajjatta bahiddhava dhamme sudhammanupassi viharati. Both inside, outside, simultaneously. Samudaya dhammanupassi va viharati. Arising, vai dhammanupassi va viharati. Samudaya vai dhammanupassi va viharati. Arising, passing, then arising and passing instantly. Athi dhammati. Oh, this is dhamma. All these six sense doors and their objects, they are all dhamma. One understands that mere dhamma, where is I in it? Where is mine in it? Where is he in it? Where is she in it? Where is an individual in it? For the conventional purpose, yes, all these six sense doors join together. There is an entity, there is an individual. But dividing, dissecting, disintegrating, dissolving, making analytical study of them separately, oh, there is no such thing as an individual. Just a mass, a combination of all these, and a process of interaction going on. The ignorance does not allow us to understand this process. When we understand at the intellectual level, but the ignorance does not allow us to witness this process, and therefore we cannot come out of the bondage that is created by this process. And this is what is dhamma. Yavadev ज्ञानमत्ताय पटिसतिमत्ताय अनिश्चितौ च विहरति न चैकिंच लोके उपादीयति. The same process, the same stations reaching the final goal. Evam bhikkhu bhikkhave bhikkhu dhamme su dhamman upassi viharati chasu ajjatik bahiresu ayatanesu. And the next, bojhang pabbang, bojhang. The parts of enlightenment, the factors of enlightenment, seven factors of enlightenment, seven qualities that one develops to reach the final goal of full enlightenment. The mind by itself is very pure, the vijnana is very pure. It is only the sankhara, the wrong type of sanya, wrong type in the sense that it is always influenced by the past sankharas, the past conditioning, the past experiences. And because of this past conditioning, the sanya always gives a wrong evaluation. And when a wrong evaluation is given, again sensation, respective sensation arises, and again sankhara after sankhara, sankhara after sankhara. And all this process, the process of sanya, vedana, sankhara, sanya, vedana, sankhara, makes the mind very impure, makes the mind full of agitation. It loses its own nature of remaining very pure. Now, bojhangas are to bring this mind to its purity. You observe the realities, these seven factors of enlightenment, and you find that they keep on increasing, and they become perfect. Every factor of enlightenment becomes perfect, and the enlightenment is perfect. The whole process is process of vipassana, how you practice the observation of the reality as it is, without reaction. These are seven factors of enlightenment. First is sati, the most important factor of enlightenment, awareness. One who does not have this faculty of awareness, one who cannot observe the reality objectively, cannot take further steps on the path. The first important thing is sati, and understand with every other factor, this sati continues. Sati has to be there. Awareness has to be there from moment to moment all the time. So a very important factor, sati. And the next important factor, enlightenment factor, dhamma vichaya. Vichaya is dividing, dissecting, disintegrating, separating, and making an analytical study of the truth. When things come consolidated, integrated, they create so much of illusion, so much of delusion. One remains confused, and every decision goes wrong, every action goes wrong. Because the truth is just apparent truth. It appears to be so. This is not the actual truth. An illusionary truth. So dhamma vichaya, the word chaya, chayan, is to integrate. Vichaya, vichayan, is to disintegrate, to separate. And vipassana wants you to separate, and observe the reality by dividing this integrated reality, going towards the ultimate reality. Initially, the dhamma vichaya is at the intellectual level. Look, after all, this is just body. And what is body? the earth element, the water element, the fire element, the air element, that's all. What I about it, what my about it, what myself about it. And what else? These four aggregates of the mind, the vijnana, the sanya, the vedana, the sankhara, oh, that's all. These five. At the intellectual level, one tries to understand that. And then what else? These six sense doors. And look, their respective objects. They come in contact, and this process starts. Process of multiplication starts. And if you are wise enough, the process of liberation starts. The entire thing becomes very clear, but merely at the intellectual level. This is not Vipassana. So Dhamma Vichaya at the intellectual level is just to give you a guidance, but Dhamma Vichaya at the actual level, when you really start dividing, dissecting, disintegrating, and making an analytical study of the truth, dividing it, dividing it, dividing it, that is Dhamma Vichaya. And the third is Virya efforts. Like in the Eightfold Noble Path, you say Samma Vayamo, right effort. Virya, you have to make effort. But very peculiar. To make effort is not to do anything. The habit pattern is to do something. Whenever you feel something, you react. This has become the habit pattern. Now, not to do anything. Let things happen. Let them happen as they happen. And this requires a lot of virya. You can fight out thousands of battles with thousands of warriors, and you can come out as a victor. But to fight this battle inside, so difficult. This old habit pattern of reacting, reacting. And he said, just observe, do nothing. Just observe, do nothing. Do nothing is big virya. And it must be done properly. If it is not done properly, there is a danger. One may go to an extreme, extreme. I must fight out my battle. I must eradicate my impurities. Like poor Ananda, so long fighting, I will become Arhant. I must become Arhant. Mind is unbalanced. The virya is not the proper virya. Or somebody so lousy doesn't want to work at all. Why I should work? Why observe all these things? Why go in the details of the things? Let it happen. But it's another extreme. Let it happen. Knowing the reality as it is, then let it happen. You do nothing to know the things as they are. You do nothing to observe the reality as it is. Then this is another extreme. It doesn't work. Slight tension is necessary to remain attentive. Slight tension, otherwise you won't work. You can't work. But building up too much of tension, then you can't work. An example is given like somebody who wants to make a hole in a gem, very precious gem. Some pressure has to be given to drill a hole in it. Some pressure is necessary. If you don't put any pressure, you're not successful. But if you put too much pressure, the gem may get broken. Such a valuable gem. So one should know the middle path, the virya. What type of virya? First thing is what virya? Virya of what? Virya of not reacting, just observing. Leave it to Dhamma. Like you say, thy will. Yes, thy will. On my part is mere observation. When you are just working on mere observation, the rest is done by Dhamma, by law of nature. The liberation is done by Dhamma, the law of nature. Mere observation has to be done by you. You just observe. Observe the reality. Understand the nature. Arising, passing, arising, passing. Don't react. Do nothing. Just observe. and understand it is all impermanent, all impermanent, all impermanent. This is virya, the third very important bhojanga, enlightenment factor. As you keep on practicing, your sati is there, dhamma vichaya is there, your proper effort is there, you find impurities going away, impurities going away. One reaches a stage where there is lot of pleasant sensation throughout this physical structure, rapture, so much of bliss-like thing, so pleasant. This grows. As the purity comes, it grows. But one has to be careful. Everywhere you have to make it a bhojanga, a factor of enlightenment. And the factor of enlightenment is that you have to work very properly. When this very pleasant sensation arises, like one feels a free flow of subtle vibrations throughout the body. Ah, wonderful. Oh, this is what I was looking for. Now I got it. This is what I wanted. So much of bliss, so much of bliss. And one starts developing attachment to it, clinging to it, there is no more bhojanga. It is no more a factor of enlightenment. You are experiencing it, nothing wrong. This experience will develop, nothing wrong. As the impurity goes away, this will become stronger and stronger. But along with that, the understanding of anicca is there. Look, this is still the field of mind and matter. And the entire field of mind and matter has this nature of arising, passing, arising, passing, arising, passing. If this understanding remains, then this piti, this pleasant feeling, becomes a factor of enlightenment. It helps you. As you proceed further, as you proceed further, observing this feeling of piti, pleasant sensation, pleasant, waves after waves of this pleasant sensation arise, pass, and you are just observing, observing, without any attachment, a stage comes, which is called pasati, extreme tranquility, so much of calmness inside. Again, this may become a means of bondage if one does not make use of it properly. A very important stage has come in your meditation where everything is so calm. Not even a slight little sound. That also is a big disturbance because the calmness is so much. The breath becomes so subtle, so subtle, so subtle, like a fine thread. Even this fine thread which comes and makes a U-turn, comes out and makes a U-turn just at the entrance. Even this fine thread-like respiration, this also becomes a disturbance. The mind has become so peaceful, so quiet, so tranquil. Now here again a danger comes. One gets carried away by the wrong impression that this is Nibbana. As that pleasant feeling, one carries away by this pleasant feeling of piti, everything is so blissful, so wonderful. I have reached the final goal. Final goal is still far away. Similarly, moving on the path, this pasaddhi, this tranquility, deep tranquility, which gives an impression that this is Nibbana. This is the stage of full liberation. Look, so much of peace, so much of peace, which one had never experienced in life, so much of peace is there. Pasaddhi. But it becomes a factor of enlightenment only when one understands, look, this peace is still in the field of mind and matter only. I have not transcended the field of mind and matter. This peace is still in the field of the six sense doors. My six sense doors are still working. In this stage, one can open the eyes and see, well, look, it's working. One can give attention on the ear, look, it is working. Every sense door is working. I have not transcended the sense door. This is not Nibbana. This is a high stage of experience on the path, no doubt. But it is still the stage of arising, passing, arising, passing. The process of arising, passing in this stage is so subtle. A very subtle oscillation. Difficult to grasp it. Difficult to feel it. Now the sensation that one feels at this time, it is called adukkhama sukham. Neither pleasant nor unpleasant. When you were with Pite, very pleasant. When you started your work, unpleasant sensation, dukkha, dukkha, sukha. And now in this deep tranquility, neither dukkha nor sukha. It is just tranquil, just peaceful. And the danger of this is that you are not experiencing anicca here. To come out of craving, to come out of the craving for the pleasant sensation is perhaps easy. To come out of the aversion towards the unpleasant sensation is perhaps easy. But to come out of the attachment towards this neither pleasant nor unpleasant, but so peaceful sensation is difficult. Here one has to be so very much attentive. Let me see whether it is anicca or not anicca. It is still the field of six sense doors. It is still the field of mind and matter. Let me see. Your mind must be very sharp. Very sharp. And then you feel there is a subtle oscillation going on. Very subtle arising, passing, arising, passing. If you are with this, then you progress further. If you are not with this, then it is a midway rest house. And you get stuck there. You get stuck there. This becomes a bhujanga when you are experiencing it, and this experience grows, 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 but with the understanding of this anicca, anicca, anicca. A question comes many a times, what about this neutral sensation? What is neutral sensation? When you are working at the initial stage, there is a neutral sensation. That means a sensation which you cannot say it is pleasant, you cannot say it is unpleasant. It is just something happening. But when you say that as a neutral sensation, it is totally different from what Buddha wanted to explain us about this neither pleasant nor unpleasant. This one neutral, this is at this surface level, at a very surface level, is actually there is craving involved in it. There is aversion involved in it. When you come to a neutral sensation and you keep on working on it, after some time you feel bored. People keep coming to me and saying, oh, there is neither pleasant now nor unpleasant now. There is sensation. But I've seen it once, twice, 1 hour, 2 hour, one day. Now the same thing coming, coming, coming. I get bored. Please tell me how to get something else. Oh, this shows your habit pattern of the mind that you crave for something which is not there. You want something else. This habit of wanting something else. So long as you don't get something, you crave for it. And once you get it, you feel bored with it because you want something else now. You want something else now. This is the habit pattern of your mind. Always craving for something else. Always craving for something else. Whatever you experience has become stale for you. Now you no more have any interest in it. You want something more. Something else. Something. So this neutral sensation at the surface level is to be understood in this way, my habit pattern of the mind, which always wants something new, is generating aversion towards this neutral sensation, is generating craving for something which is not there. Oh, this is the habit pattern of my mind. And this actual neutral sensation, which comes at such a deep stage, which gives an impression, because people come from different traditions to practice Vipassana. Vipassana is like a Ganges. People come here to quench their thirst, to come out of their ignorance, to come out of their misery. So people come from different sects, different communities, different countries, different beliefs, different dogmas, different religions. and they work the same way. Somebody who is coming with a traditional belief that there is something eternal in me, and this is I, this is my soul. When they reach this stage, the danger is they will be under the illusion, this is I. Well, all other things arising, passing, was not eternal. That was essenceless. The entire body structure, the mind structure. Now this is something beyond mind and matter. And this is I. This is my soul. Or somebody who comes from the tradition that there is a eternal creator of the world. And that eternal creator of the world lives inside us. Ah, now this is the eternal creator of the world. Everything else changes. Look, this does not change. Look, this does not. This pasaddhi, which gives this deep, tranquil experience, where you can't say it is pleasant, you can't say it is unpleasant. It is just very deep tranquility, and which gives a illusion that it doesn't change. Look, it doesn't change. Becomes a big bondage. If you examine it very thoroughly, you find however tranquil it may be, however deep calmness it may be, there is oscillation going on. Then this becomes the enlightenment factor, because it will give you strength to move further. And then the next bhujanga, the enlightenment factor, samadhi, concentration, absorption. Again, there could have been samadhis of different types as they were there before Buddha became Buddha, the 8 types of jhanas, different types of samadhis that are practiced even now, even today. Mind gets concentrated in the object. Mind gets concentrated in the object and one feels, I've attained my goal. Again, a danger. The samadhi must be samadhi with the awareness of the mind and matter phenomenon, and with the awareness of the changing nature of this mind-matter phenomenon. Then with sampajanya, this samadhi is samadhi. And then this samadhi will take you to the final goal, because you are with sampajanya, arising. Mind is concentrated on the reality realizing its true nature of arising, passing. So this samadhi, which were lokiya samadhi, lokiya jhanas, the samadhi which helps us to rotate from one plane to the other, life after life, is totally different. The samadhi, which is samma samadhi, which takes us out of all these planes, fully liberated from this bondage of death and birth, and miseries of different types, the sufferings of different types, is lokottara. This takes us to the stage which is beyond mind and matter. As the jhana, the absorption of a samadhi is attained, along with that, the fruit of nibbana is attained. Simultaneously one experiences both. Sotapanna, Sagdagami, Anagami, Arhant. Simultaneously, every fruit, one after the other, is experienced with samadhi, and then that samadhi is samma samadhi, it becomes the enlightenment factor. And then the 7th, upekkha. Oh, this is the enlightenment factor, which again, from the beginning till the end. Like the sati, from the beginning till the end, so also upekkha, equanimity. These two factors are there always at every step. At every step, the first, the sati, and the last, the upekkha, is always there. Whether you are working with dhamma vichaya, whether you are working with any factor, these two are there: your awareness and your equanimity. Understand these 7 enlightenment factors, which are very important to take us to the final goal. As you observe these enlightenment factors one by one, when you observe impurity, the law of nature is such, it will come on the surface and get eradicated. When you observe these factors, they come on the surface and they get multiplied because the nature of the mind, the purity of the mind, has all these factors and they get developed. They are fulfilled totally. And like these six, all these seven have this multiplication of these factors, one gets fully enlightened and reaches the final goal. And this is what is explained in this Bhojanga Pabbam. Punacha paranga bhikkhave bhikkhu dhamme su dhammanupassi viharati sattasu bhojangesu, the seven enlightened factors. Katancha pana bhikkhave bhikkhu dhamme su dhammanupassi viharati sattasu bhojangesu. How? Ida bhikkhave bhikkhu santangava ajjhattang sati sambhojangam. When there is sati sambhojang, the enlightenment factor of sati, atthime ajjhattang sati sambhojangoti pajanati. One observes his reality. Well, look, there is now sati. Ay santangava ajjhattang. When it is no sati, one observes it. Look, there is no sati. Ay santangava ajjhattang sati sambhojangam natthime ajjhattang sati sambhojangoti pajanati. One accepts this reality also. Yathach anupannasya sati sambhojangasya uppado hoti. All your accumulated enlightenment factors of sati of the past, now they come on the surface and help you. Yathach anupannasya sati sambhojangasya uppado hoti tancha pajanati. He observes that. And yathach uppannasya, all those who have arisen from the depth, sati sambhojangasya bhavanaya paripuri hoti tancha pajanati. Repeatedly they come up, you observe, they multiply till they become complete, totality, fully attained. Similarly, santangava ajjhattang dhamma vichayang, the next element, dhamma vichayang sambhojangam atthime ajjhattang dhamma vichayang sambhojangu te pajanati. This dhamma vichaya, analytical study of the truth. Ay santangava ajjhattang dhamma vichaya sambhojangam natthime ajjhattang dhamma vichaya sambhojangu te pajanati. If it is not there at this moment, you are aware it is not there at this moment. Yathach anupannasya dhamma vichaya sambhojangasya uppado hoti. They arise from the depth, tancha pajanati. One knows that. Yathacha uppannasya dhamma vichaya sambhojangasya bhavanaya paripuri hoti tancha pajanati. This faculty gets developed till it is the final goal. Santang chay ajjhattang virya sambhojangam. Your effort, virya. Atthime ajjhattang virya sambhojangoti pajanati. When it is there, you know it is there. Ay santangava ajjhattang, when it is not there, virya sambhojangam natthime ajjhattang virya sambhojangoti pajanati. When it is not there, you know it is not there. Yathach anupannasya virya sambhojangasya uppado hoti tancha pajanati. Others come up, which they had not come up earlier. Yathach uppannasya virya sambhojangasya bhavanaya paripuri hoti tancha bhajanati. Repeatedly coming up, they multiply and become fulfilled. Santang chay ajjhattang piti sambhojangam, similarly piti sambhojangam atthime ajjhattang piti sambhojangoti pajanati. The rapture, the bliss, the feeling of pleasant sensation. Ay santangava ajjhattang piti sambhojangam natthime ajjhattang piti sambhojangoti pajanati. Yathacha anupannasya piti sambhojangasya uppado hoti, which had not arisen earlier, is now arisen now, tancha pajanati. Yathacha uppannasya piti sambhojangasya bhavanaya paripuri hoti tancha pajanati. They get fulfilled by repeated observation. Santangava ajjhattang passaddhing sambhojangam atthime ajjhattang passaddhi sambhojangoti pajanati. This tranquility. Ay santangava ajjhattang passaddhi sambhojangam natthime ajjhattang passaddhi sambhojangoti pajanati. Now it's no tranquility.
Yathach anupannasya pasadhi sambhu jhangasya uppado hoti tanjapajanasi. One which had not arisen before, now it is arising and you are aware of it. Yathach uppannasya pasadhi sambhu jhangasya. Again, bhavanaya paripuri hoti tanjapajanati. It gets fulfilled. And santangava ajjatang samadhi. Now the next samadhi. Samadhi sambhu jhangam athime ajjatam samadhi sambhu jhangu tipajanati. Aisantangava ajjatam samadhi sambhu jhangam nathime ajjatam samadhi sambhu jhangu tipajanati. It's not there, it is not there. Yathach anupannasya samadhi sambhu jhangasya uppado hoti tanjapajanati. Deep ones start coming up. Yathacha uppannasya samadhi sambhu jhangasya bhavanaya paripuri hoti tanjapajanati. This also gets fully completed. Santangava ajjatang upekha. Now the seventh upekha, equanimity. Sambhu jhangam athime ajjatang upekha sambhu jhanghoti pajanati. Aisantangava ajjatang. If it is not there, aisantangava ajjatang upekha sambhu jhangam athime ajjatang. Upekha sambhu jhangu tipajanati. Yathach anupannasya upekha sambhu jhangasya uppado hoti. What has not arisen earlier has arisen now. Tanjapajanati. Yathach uppannasya upekha sambhu jhangu. And whatever has arisen, bhavanaya paripuri hoti tanjapajanati. And like this, then the same stations. Iti ajjattangava dhamme sudhammanupasse viharati. Bahiddhava dhamme sudhammanupasse viharati. Ajjatta bahiddhava dhamme sudhammanupasse viharati. And then samudai dhammanupasse vadhamme subiharati. Vai dhammanupasse vadhamme subiharati. Samudai vai dhammanupasse vadhamme subiharati. Inside, outside, both outside, inside. Arising, passing, both arising and passing. Atthi dhammati, oh, this is dhamma. Just dhamma. Atthi dhammati va panasasati pachupattita hoti. The awareness gets established with the reality. This is dhamma. Yavadeva jnanamattaya patissati mattaya anissito cha viharati nachay kinchiloke upadiyati. No more grasping, no more clinging. Evam bhikkhu bhikkhave bhikkhu dhammesu dhammanupassi viharati. Like this one practices dhammanupassana. May you all get liberated from the bondages, the miseries. Bhavat sav mangalam. Bhavatu sarva mangalam. Bhavatu. Take rest for about 5 minutes. Take rest with sampajanyam and come back and sit and start working with sampajanyam. Sampajanyam. And a lot of questions have come. I don't think I can take up every question, but some of them we finish in a few minutes. One question is directing our attention the only freedom we have, all other things being governed by Dhamma? Everything is governed by Dhamma.
Directing your attention is the only thing that you can do to liberate yourself. Otherwise, you have got power to do anything. You can react. There is nobody to stop you. You can keep on reacting and multiplying your misery, multiplying your misery. For liberation, this is the only thing for you to do. Just observe. Just observe. And the rest certainly Dhamma will do. Liberation will be done by Dhamma. And the bondage is done by Dhamma. Law of nature. You react and the Dhamma will put you in bondage, in misery. Where is the dividing line between seriousness of practice and craving? Good question. See, when somebody says, work seriously, and you develop a craving for this. Craving for what? Craving for the attainment of the result of your working seriously, or even working seriously, you develop an attachment to this working seriously, whether there is an attachment or whether there is a craving or you are working without craving, the only way to examine is, when you find yourself, you are not working properly. You are not working seriously. And you feel very much depressed because of that. Oh, I was asked to work seriously. And look, I am not working seriously. Then there is craving. This is the dividing line. If you find that you have not worked seriously, look, I am not working seriously. Yes, I will work seriously now. But you don't crave, you don't become unhappy because of that. The fact is there. This is the truth. That at present, I am not working seriously. And I must work seriously. All right, I start again. Then craving is not involved and you keep on progressing. Do neutral sensations come from neutral reactions? And do we hope to change this to mere observation? Yes, we have discussed so much about neutral sensation. They come due to ignorance. And you just observe them. Ignorance goes away. And you find this is also a changing phenomenon. This will also change. Sooner or later this will also change. And it continues to change. There is one change where you find something accumulated, totally changes into something else. And there's another change at a very subtle level which takes place every moment, arising, passing. From this gross level of changing, look, there was a very unpleasant sensation and after some time it has passed away. This is one understanding of anicca at the surface level. This also is helpful. But you have to go to the stage where in spite of very painful, solidified sensation, there's the undercurrent of vibration going on. Well, look, even this painful sensation arises, passes every moment. That is anicca at a deeper level. When during meditation, sense desire arises and one gets carried away, rolling in the thought for some time, before observation, before one realizes it, does one then multiply those already pleasant sankharas and ends up actually in a worse state than before instead of purifying? You had been multiplying, the process of multiplying was there all the time, 24 hours. You never observed it. So the process of multiplication was continuously there. Now at least you get few moments when you are observing and you stop that process of multiplication. Few moments, which turn into few seconds, which turn into few minutes, which may turn into few hours. That much goes to your credit. The rest was always in your debit. So it is not that by practicing vipassana you started multiplying. By practicing vipassana you understand, look, it is multiplying. And you are, every time you roll in these sensual pleasures, you keep on multiplying your misery, And those moments when you are observing, you are coming out of it. This is what it is. You just observe, and as much as you observe, you are coming out of it. Lord Buddha's teaching seems to imply sweeping of attention related to breath. What then is the origin and importance of the part by part in this practice? Good. When he says sabbakaya patisambedi asasisami tisikhati. For every other sentence he says pajanati, pajanati. But here he says sikhati. He learns. That means he has to do something to learn. To learn how to reach the stage where one can sweep the entire body in one breath. And this learning is going part by part, part by part. You have not reached the stage where you can sweep, so you go part by part, part by part. And going part by part, observing it, you allow the solidity in that particular part to dissolve little by little, till the whole thing gets dissolved. And once the whole thing is got resolved, and you can sweep en masse inside, outside the whole body, then why again part by part? The reason is that there might be very small areas. You may be under the impression that when I sweep the whole body from top to bottom, the entire body is opened up now. But when you go part by part, you find some small areas, which otherwise in this sweep you may not know. So that is why you have to go again part, to examine whether really everything is opened up or not. That's why it is done. Sikkhati, you learn to reach the stage of bhanga-jnana. The sutra outlines four observations and numerous practices. Your teaching is directed only to the observation of the body, respiration, and the observation of sensations. The discourse provides no ranking or ordering that some practices or observations are more important than others. Why not also teach all practices, such as walking meditation or noting ideas? Good question. There are different traditions. Buddha also, when he gave an object of meditation to somebody who came to him, Buddha was Buddha, a fully enlightened person. So he can see the background of every student who comes to him, the present capacity of the student, the present inclination of the student, and he will give an object to start with. To start, there will be different objects with different people, but later on as you proceed, everything, the same stations everybody has to pass through, samudaya, dhamma, vai, dhamma, samudaya, vai, dhamma, etc., etc., and this is the final goal. Now this living tradition, this living tradition comes from the people who started working with respiration. With respiration, one has to come to sensation, because with sensation, one can really experience arising and passing. Respiration and sensation will take you to the final goal. If somebody wants to try something else, nothing is prohibited. But understand, those who are walking on this path with this technique and are progressing, if they start working something else, they want to start something else, just out of curiosity, you will be just wasting your time. Like working with the respiration and sensation, you feel sensation everywhere, and then suddenly you hear from somebody that there is a walking exercise, so I better walk, and I understand, I observe, look, walking, without sensation. You are just observing walking, this foot arising, moving down again on the earth, another foot arising, falling. Then you are just observing it at a very gross level, and your faculty, which has reached the stage where you could feel the sensations at such subtle level, now it becomes again very blunt. And you come back again on this respiration and sensation, you can't feel sensations. People who had gone to certain depth of the technique, again running after different techniques of this walking, this or that, we are not against that. If it is suitable to somebody, they must make use of it. There are people whose minds are very gross, whose minds are very, very rough type. They can't start with any subtle object. To observe a respiration, and a subtle respiration, is not easy, very difficult. And to observe it only in this area is very difficult. You can feel your breath keeping your hand on the stomach. The stomach arises, the stomach falls, the breath coming in, the breath going out. A very crude way of observing your breath. It doesn't matter. If someone cannot feel it at the entrance as Buddha wanted you to feel there, then you can start there. But once you started observing at this area and you feel very subtle respiration very clearly, and yet again you start with the stomach, then from the subtle you are again going to the gross.
And the entire path is to move from the gross towards the subtlety. Subtlety. Olariko, from Olariko, these are the words of Buddha, from Olariko to Sukhuma, 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 subtle, subtle, subtle. You have come to a certain subtle stage. If unintentionally a situation arises where your object again becomes gross, you can't help it. Something deep has come on the surface. But intentionally now you come to something gross. You create a gross object and you work with the gross object, forgetting all about your subtle reality which you had been experiencing. This will be a regress for you, not a progress. So out of curiosity, don't start running here and there. If this technique does not suit you, then yes, you are free to start with any other technique, but then stick to that technique and reach the final goal. But moving on one technique, having reached a certain station, again starting from ABCD with some other technique, the first sentence of another paragraph and the first sentence of another paragraph, you will waste such a precious life of yours. Time is so essential, we can't afford that. I is not. Yes, I is not. What is then that needs enlightening? Good question. Ignorance needs enlightening. What else? Ignorance needs enlightening. The bondage needs liberation. That's all. Nothing else. How do you define a mind of compassion? Mind of compassion is mind of compassion. When there is compassion in your mind, you accept the fact, oh look, now my mind is compassionate mind. Also, can we use compassion with awareness when dealing with our own sufferings? Certainly. The first object of your compassion should be yourself. I say, be kind to yourself. Love yourself. Be compassionate to yourself. See how much misery you are inflicting on yourself. You are so cruel to yourself. Every time you react with craving or aversion, you are so cruel. You are harming yourself. You are inflicting misery on yourself. Be kind to yourself. Be compassionate to yourself. Don't generate jit-sankharas of craving or aversion. Or even if you say that I am generating aversion towards somebody else, I am generating anger towards somebody else, you have started harming yourself. You are not kind to yourself. You are not compassionate to yourself. The anger that has arisen in you may harm the other person or may not harm the other person. If the other person is a good Vipassana meditator, he is not going to be harmed. She is not going to be harmed. But you are going to be harmed certainly the moment you generate anger, the nature starts punishing you, you become miserable. So be kind to yourself, be compassionate to yourself. Is it true that the interpretation of Vedana is what most distinguishes our form of Vipassana from others in the Buddhist tradition? Yes. And how do the others define Vedana if not as physical sensations? Well, as I said, there are different traditions. We are not here to condemn other traditions, but there are traditions where Vedana is taken only as feeling of the mind. To some extent it is true because Vedana is part of those four aggregates of the mind, the feeling. But when we go through the words of Buddha, understand when we are going through the Satipatthana Sutta, sometime a question comes, that why not translate just word by word? Why all these explanations? These explanations are necessary because these explanations depend on Buddha's teaching in different suttas. Quite possible a certain thing is not made very clear here because this was made clear earlier to people. To his students who had come there, they know. They know what Sampajanya is. So Sampajanya is not made very clear here, but somewhere else when he says what Sampajanya is feeling the sensations arising and passing, then we have to relate this with his teaching somewhere else about Sampajanya. Similarly, different words that he has used, many of those words have become obsolete now in the local languages of India at present. Many of them carry different meanings altogether. So in different traditions also some of the words started carrying different meanings. So we have to go to the original words of Buddha in the Tipitaka where he has defined those things and then make use of them. So similarly when we talk of Vedana, we have to go to the original words of Buddha where he explains that sukha vedana is body sukha vedana, dukha vedana is body dukha vedana. If it is mental sukha vedana, mental pleasant sensation, then he uses the word somanasang. When it is mental unpleasant sensation, he uses the word domanasang. And the vedana parva, we don't find somanasang or domanasang. We find there sukha vedana or dukha vedana. Therefore, we have to depend on the sensations on the body. Good. Rest tomorrow. Now, whatever you have understood at the intellectual level and whatever you experienced at the experiential level, make use of both of these, and the rest of the time that you have working with this course, make use of it properly. And not only that, in your day-to-day life later on, make use of Dhamma. Live the life of Dhamma, both outside and also inside. Observing the reality inside and accepting the whatever happens outside. Whatever happens outside, observe the reality inside, reality of the sensations, remain equanimous. Then whatever decision you make is a healthy decision. Whatever action you take is a healthy action. It is not a reaction. Reaction is always full of negativity. And when you don't react, you are free from negativity. And when there is the action, it is always positive, good for you and good for others. And this is Dhamma, a way of life which is good for you and good for others. May all of you become competent to live a life which is good for you and good for others. Good for you and good for others. May all of you enjoy the best fruits of Dhamma, peace, harmony, happiness.
Bhavatu sarva mangalam. Bhavatu sarva mangalam. Bhavatu. Take rest. Take rest. You may take rest for about 5 minutes with Sampajanya and then again start with Sampajanya. Sampajanya.